Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 91 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
They can look at their own prescribing habits, other aspects of how they themselves can play a role in reducing this epidemic within our region.
David Gross is talking about working with healthcare providers to enhance opioid abuse education. He directs a health education center in Northeast Kentucky that's getting $80,000 for it.
Kentucky's Attorney General is still putting the pressure on Governor Bevin, despite a campaign-related ethics warning.
And state firefighters are preparing for Kentucky's fall fire season while lending a hand out west.
In sports, a former Rowan County pitcher is recovering from surgery.
Bud Luke brings us the stock report.
It'll be clear tonight with lows around 68 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Three people were injured during a nightclub shooting in Bourbon County over the weekend. Police say they received reports of shots fired at Club Allure in downtown Paris just after 2 o'clock Sunday morning. They believe a fight broke out as the nightclub was closing. City manager Darren Jordan took to Facebook to ask for the public's help in finding the shooter.
As this is an active investigation, we are limited as to what information we can share. However, I'm asking for your assistance in bringing those responsible to justice. As we are able, we will make public updates on the status of this matter. Thank you for your support and your understanding.
Jordan asks anyone with information regarding the shooting to call Paris Police at 859-987-2100. The names and conditions of the victims have not yet been released.
A Kentucky woman has died after her truck was struck by a Kentucky State Police Trooper's vehicle. News outlets report 63-year-old Joyce Smith was pronounced dead at the scene by the Warren County Coroner's Office on Monday afternoon. A news release from Kentucky State Police says State Trooper Brian Gann was responding to an injury accident and turned on his blue lights and siren and attempted to pass multiple vehicles when his patrol car struck Smith's pickup. Police say the collision forced both vehicles into a ditch. Smith's passenger, 79-year-old Leroy Smith, was treated at a hospital for injuries and released. Gann was also treated at a hospital for minor injuries and released. He has been placed on temporary administrative leave while the Kentucky State Police Collision Analysis Branch investigates.
Mason County's jailer blames overcrowding for a recent disturbance that ended with some inmates being transferred. 2 weeks ago, an incident ensued after officials at the detention center temporarily took away the inmates' TV privileges. Several of them then started kicking their cell doors, which violates the facility's rules. Mason jailer Lisa Yeary says with too many inmates and not enough space, tensions have been high at her facility.
We have an overcrowding situation here, and there's very little movement in the state, and that just heightens the tension in the facility between inmates. It also can cause problems with staff just having the overworked with so many inmates in here and in any facility.
After the disturbance was taken care of by the jail's staff, three of the inmates involved in the incident were transferred to the Bourbon County Detention Center.
The Federal Health Resources and Services Administration has granted $80,000 to the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, or AHEC. The money will provide a series of educational activities that highlight the diagnosis, prevention, and treatment of opioid use disorder. David Gross, director of the Northeast Kentucky AHEC, says their goal is to help a diverse variety of healthcare providers be more prepared to treat patients with pain.
Part of what we do is try to improve health through education. So in our case, we are not medical or pharmaceutical experts ourselves. Our role is to really be facilitators. So we're hoping to partner with providers in our region. We are forming an advisory committee to give us guidance on specific topics and speakers that would be good to have as parts of these activities.
The events will target attendees in the organization's 17-county service area. More information is available at www.neahec.org.
A Kentucky physician believes online telehealth services could help alleviate the Commonwealth's patient service gap. With more, here's Sean Delaney.
Studies show that Kentucky is nearly 4,000 physicians short of the number it needs to adequately treat the state's population. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Glasgow's Dr. William Thornberry believes telehealth or online conferences with patients could ease the mounting caseload. Dr. Thornberry told the Interim Joint Committee on Health and Welfare Monday that the method could increase doctor-patient capacity by 19%. The system would cut back on the number of in-person visits by chronically ill patients. Telehealth does face some obstacles, though. Doctors who use the system are at an increased risk for legal trouble, which puts insurance companies on edge. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
Dozens of people waited for more than 3 hours yesterday to tell Kentucky officials how much they oppose proposed changes to the state's Medicaid program. Officials with Republican Governor Matt Bevin's administration held the final public hearing about a plan to require some on the state's Medicaid program to work to keep their benefits. Confusion about what time the hearing started caused many to wait 3 hours before they could speak. The Reverend Kent Gilbert called it reprehensible and immoral. Sharon Fleck said she and her family relied on Medicaid after her husband lost his job. She said the changes would make it harder for people to use the program. Johnny Pittman says he supports the changes. He said Medicaid helped him, but people need to be responsible for themselves.
New research suggests that arguments made by the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission to revoke net neutrality protections were based on inaccurate research funded by a public relations group that specializes in promoting policy for internet service provider AT&T. Dan Hyman has details.
In his argument to revisit the Obama-era rule designed to protect a free and open internet, current FCC Chairman Ajit Pai cited a paper published in an academic journal that claimed the agency had failed to consider the economic impacts on industry. Jefferson Pooley, co-author of a new study published in the same International Journal for Communications, says Pai's position is based on a paper riddled with factual errors and unsubstantiated claims.
We showed that this core claim was incorrect, that in fact economists had been perhaps more active in coming up with the net neutrality rules than ever before.
Pooley's team also found that the article cited by Pai was paid for by Cal Innovates, a PR group that specializes in promoting policy for AT&T, an internet service provider that Pooley says could benefit if open internet rules are reversed. Proponents of rolling back net neutrality say regulating ISPs as a utility hampers innovation and investment. Dan Hyman reporting.
A Kentucky Ethics Commission says the Democratic Attorney General should not investigate the state's Republican governor if he intends to challenge him for re-election. Attorney General Andy Beshear had asked the Executive Branch Ethics Commission if it would be proper for him to investigate whether Governor Matt Bevin's purchase of a Louisville home from a campaign donor violated state law. Multiple media outlets reported Monday the commission voted 4-1 to tell Beshear it would be improper for him to investigate Bevin if he intends to run against him in 2019. The commission said Beshear could refer the investigation to other law enforcement agencies.
Beshear says he's not handing off the U of L Foundation investigation. KNN's Will Clark has the story.
Responding to the Kentucky GOP's call to recuse himself from the U of L Foundation case to avoid a conflict of interest, Beshear says he believes in doing his job.
With the information that we've received, there's nothing that would implicate or suggest any type of conflict. But again, if that arises, we're going to do the right thing and we'll address it at that point.
The alleged conflict stems from Beshear's time at Stites and Harbison, the lawyers that had previously represented the foundation. I'm Will Clark.
Morehead State University's new president is already facing a major chore. On the job for just over 2 weeks, Dr. Jay Morgan will have to find a replacement for Jason Bentley, the school's vice president for student success. Bentley will be returning to his home state of Michigan at the end of this month after accepting a position at Ferris State University. Morgan says he'll initially turn to someone inside Bentley's department to take over for him.
I'm starting to think about maybe who we might slot there as an interim. I think we'll probably move someone as an interim vice president for that particular division for a while and really take some time to think through where we need to be going forward.
Bentley came to Morehead State about a year ago after a 16-year stint in various positions at Central Michigan University.
The $1.1 million effort to put artificial turf on Rowan County Senior High School's football field continues. With rain last month limiting crews to only 11 days of work on the project, Principal Ray Ginter says they're a little behind schedule as they try to meet their goal of finishing by August. If that doesn't happen, Ginter notes the Viking football team may have to play its August 26th home opener against Bath County elsewhere.
We've talked with Morehead State University, and we'd move our first home game down there. I'm pretty optimistic. You know, they're a hardworking bunch of people. I was here this morning at 7 o'clock, and they were already working, so I'd like to think that they'll get it all done.
The new turf field will be utilized not only by Rowan's football squad, but also by several of its other athletic teams and the marching band. It will be made available for community events when no school events are scheduled there.
Motorists are being advised to be on the lookout for a temporary road closure in Boyd County. Kentucky Department of Highway spokesman Alan Blair says crews are replacing a culvert that runs below the highway where Lower Chadwick Creek crosses under it near Brown Lane.
You know, it is extensive just because it's a large culvert carrying a creek underneath the highway, so that takes a little bit of work. Several days. We will, move along as quickly as possible, though, to make sure we get it open. It could open earlier, depending on the weather and how things go about putting the new culvert together.
Blair anticipates the work will be finished by Friday evening, but possible weather issues could change that timeline. Until then, however, he warns traffic will be detoured around barricades at the work site.
The Kentucky Department of Highway Safety recently honored a Flemingsburg police officer. Mayor Martin Voyers says Officer David Caesar was awarded the 2017 Governor's Occupant Protection Award for his work to increase motor vehicle seatbelt and child restraint usage.
That's been something that we have focused on, as most agencies have, in the last several years. And I think we've had officers that have been awarded this in the past as well. So it's something that we take very seriously, and obviously we want our citizens to be as well protected as possible.
Caesar has been with the Flemingsburg Police Force since 2013. He began his law enforcement career with the Morehead State University Police in 2009 before moving over to the Rowan County Sheriff's Department. He's one of several police officers from 122 departments around the Commonwealth to be honored by the Kentucky Department of Highway Safety.
Firefighters from the Kentucky Division of Forestry are assisting with blazes in the western United States this month as part of a mutual aid agreement with 13 states. Evelyn Morgan of Grayson is currently working in Pablo, Colorado as a public information officer. Morgan works to warn communities about current fires and teach prevention. Morgan says in Kentucky, certain natural factors contribute to the forest fire season each fall.
The weather pattern changes. We don't get as much moisture. And the second thing that causes Kentucky to be different is we have leaves that start falling. So we have a lot of things that will burn on the ground, fuel. And, then there's a lot of people that, want to get rid of the leaves, and they go hunting and they build campfires and, they burn brush, just different things to start fires.
Morgan says that fires are not only financially costly, but can cause long-term damage to the forests that lead them to flash flooding and erosion.
As wildfires erupt in the western United States, firefighters in Kentucky are already thinking about what they'll face this fall. Evelyn Morgan is a Grayson native. She works for the Division of Forestry. She says firefighters are currently working in Utah and Colorado, giving them valuable training for the fall forest fire season at home. Morgan says western states have a slightly lower risk of human-caused forest fires.
They do get a lot more lightning strikes because of the high elevations and, the lightning storms that's going through today. The temperatures are going to get much warmer. We had some lightning last night, so we're expecting some smokes today from the lightning.
Morgan says 95% of forest fires in Kentucky are caused by human actions.
The U.S. Small Business Administration says the deadline is approaching for small businesses in certain Tennessee and Kentucky counties to seek disaster loans stemming from drought that began in October. The deadline to apply is August 15th. The loans are available in Allen, Bell, Christian, Clinton, Cumberland, Logan, McCreary, Monroe, Simpson, Todd, Wayne, and Whitley counties in Kentucky.
A new mapping project revealed Kentucky as the 25th worst state in dealing with health concerns caused by ragweed-induced pollen and unhealthy ozone smog days. The Science Center at the National Natural Resources Defense Council led the study. Kim Knowlton is the senior scientist and deputy director of the council. She says climate change is the main cause of this combination of health concerns.
So on hot, late summer days, there tend to be higher ozone concentrations. And unfortunately, that's the same time of year when ragweed is producing its pollen. And a lot of people are allergic to pollen. So that's the double whammy.
The report revealed Kentucky's average temperatures have climbed about 2 degrees since the 1960s.
Fazoli's restaurants in Moorhead and Maysville are offering free meals for children in need. Owner Dan Markwell says he understands that some students don't get the nutrition they need during the summer months. In order to combat area hunger, Markwell says kids' meals are available to anyone who might want them with no purchase necessary. Markwell says the new all-natural menu is even better for area youth in need.
Fazoli's had to spend about $1.5 million reformulating menus to come up with recipes that would work for the all-natural ingredients. And we just kicked that off in June. It's been a big success, and it seems like people are really gravitating to the fact that, you know, they can trust the ingredient in our food.
The program will continue through the summer and conclude when school begins in August. To receive a free meal at any time, Markwell says parents just need to let a Fazoli's cashier know that they would appreciate the free meal. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight clear skies with lows around 68. For tomorrow, sunshine and clouds mixed with highs around 91. Tomorrow night will be clear once again with lows getting down to 69. On Thursday, mostly sunny with highs around 93, and Thursday night will be partly cloudy with lows around 73 degrees. Looking at temperatures around the region, it's currently 91 degrees in Lexington, Inez, and Winchester. It's 90 degrees in Flemingsburg, 92 in Ashland, and it is 91 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
The time is 4:47. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, a new housing development is bringing dozens of new living units to Moorhead. With more, here's Sean Delaney.
I felt compelled to provide some better quality housing in a good location that can service, you know, people's needs.
Steve Williams is with South Fork General Management. He and his company are currently constructing Lakeechee Estates, a 48-unit housing complex just off of Kentucky 519 in Moorhead.
Combination of single-story, two-bedroom, two-bathroom houses, one-story duplexes, two-story townhouse duplexes, and one-bedroom efficiency duplexes.
Williams plans to complete the project in three phases at 16 units each. He says Phase 1 will be complete by the end of August. Phase 2 is scheduled to wrap up in the spring of 2018. The final phase will be done the following fall. The units will be located next to the Save-A-Lot grocery store, an area Williams says will benefit from the upcoming residents. He says he aims to make the units affordable for a variety of tenants.
You know, it could be a combination of students, single person, married couple with a child, could be even a, you know, senior citizen.
Williams adds they should be safe from the elements.
That property that I'm aware of has never flooded. We have built the rental units at least 2 feet above the FEMA level. So, like I said, if it gets up to that level, then the whole city of Moorhead will be wiped out. So,
for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
You're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Sports is coming up after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, which has recently purchased surveillance equipment to catch individuals who are dumping illegally in the county. If you know of illegal dumping locations anywhere in Rowan County, you may contact the Solid Waste Department at 784-6345. County officials are currently monitoring several locations, but help is needed from the public to catch and prosecute litterers to help keep Rowan County clean. That number again is 784-6345.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Former Round County standout pitcher Cameron Plank is currently on the road to recovery. The 11th round pick of the New York Mets coming out of high school, Plank had a torn capsule in his throwing shoulder that required him to have surgery last week. Plank says he is in the very early stages of what doctors expect to be a 7 to 10 month rehab period.
I'm rehabbing down in Florida, in Port St. Lucie. But I get here and I squeeze a ball. I do some rotations. I do some just like arm lifts, just so I get that motion so it doesn't like lock up, and extend my arm and pronate, supinate, things like that. But it's not anything right now. I pretty much have to wait 4 weeks before I really get into like true rehab. Right now I'm just kind of keeping the motion and just letting the shoulder heal.
Plank says he expects to start pitching again in November. After being swept in a four-game series against Washington, the Cincinnati Reds will be looking for better things tonight at 7:10 as they host the Arizona Diamondbacks. In addition to falling 6-1 Monday to the Nationals, the Reds also suffered another big loss. Pitcher Scott Feldman had to leave the game after the first inning with knee stiffness. Manager Brian Price says the right-hander has been dealing with the issue all season, but this time he thinks it will likely send him to the club's DL.
I think it'll definitely necessitate a stint on the disabled list. I think it would be unfair to Scott and the club to put ourselves in a position where we wouldn't know for sure what he was going to feel like coming out of the bullpen and go through that. You know,
the Reds will start 1-1 Sal Romano on the Great American Ballpark mound this evening. The Diamondbacks will counter with lefty Robbie Ray. The Kentucky High School Athletic Association has announced that it is mandating protective face masks for all pitchers, first and third basemen in high school softball in the state. The change makes Kentucky the first state to require protective headgear in high school softball in the country. During the National Federation of High School summer meetings earlier this month, the KHSAA submitted a proposal to require protective headgear nationwide, but it was not approved. The Round County football team's preseason practices are in full swing. With the Vikings only about a month out from their first game of 2017, first-year coach Kelly Ford has been tweaking their playbook.
Offensively, we pretty much got everything in, but we need to tweak some things. Defensively, we've got the whole system in. I mean, it's the system that I've always ran. So, I mean, we're good to go on our defensive side. But, we'll throw some different stunts and stuff in. But we've been real basic of what we're doing because we want to play fast and not like to take a lot and keep it simple for them.
The football Vikings start the new season on August the 18th at Morgan County. The Vikings and Cougars haven't played each other since 2010. In preparing for the start of his team's preseason drills in early August, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier has been looking into the recent past. He says he and the staff have spent a lot of time reviewing the Eagles' work on offense and defense during spring practice.
You know, you take that stuff, you look at it, you find out what you did well, you keep it. The things that you don't think that, you know, worked well or maybe wasn't a fit for your personnel, then you take it out. You know, you don't want to start camp with too much. So the key is just evaluating that and getting the playbook ready for preseason camp,
which starts in just a few weeks at Jane Stadium. A highly rated prep basketball prospect says he's being patient as he waits to see if he'll get an offer from the University of Kentucky. 6'6 wing Keldon Johnson is considered a 5-star recruit. He spent last year at Huntington Prep in West Virginia, but has transferred to Oak Hill Academy for his senior season. According to Johnson, he's talked with several colleges, including Kentucky, but still isn't sure where he'll play at the next level. Johnson told Kentucky.com he likes UK, and right now he's not giving the Cats a deadline for making him an offer.
I want to say they have a time period. You know, whenever it happens, it happens. You know, I'm not going to give them a time period that they have to offer me because, I mean, it's Kentucky.
Among the other schools wooing Johnson are Virginia, Memphis, Georgetown, Maryland, UCLA, Oregon, and NC State. Some notes from the NBA. Guard Manu Ginobili is finalizing a contract to return for his 16th season with the San Antonio Spurs. Ginobili turns 40 years old next week. The league announced today that they are doing away with home and away uniform colors. Each team will now have a total of 4 jerseys, and the home team will decide what uniforms they want to wear, and the road team will contrast it. And 6'11 big man Willie Reed has agreed to a 1-year deal with the Los Angeles Clippers, worth $1.5 million. And finally in sports, the University of Kentucky will induct some new members into its 2017 Athletic Hall of Fame. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has more.
The former Wildcats to be enshrined include Randall Cobb and John Wall. Cobb played for the football Cats as a combination wide receiver, quarterback, punt returner, and kickoff returner from 2008 through 2010. He's played for the Green Bay Packers for the last 6 years. Wall was the National Player of the Year in his one and only season with the Basketball Cats back in 2010. He is now a four-time NBA All-Star through his 7 seasons with the Washington Wizards. Others to be inducted in late September include volleyball star Sarah Roomley, radio announcer Ralph Hacker, baseball standout Callan Cowgill, and track and cross-country star Sherry Hoover-Bordner. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
And that's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly higher as investors parsed through more corporate quarterly reports. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with actually a loss of 54.99, as the blue chip average finished at 21,574.73, the Dow being affected by weakness in certain high-profile stocks that had earnings disappointments. The S&P 500 was up 1.47 at 2460.61, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 29.87, finishing with a gain of 0.5% at 6344.31. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 14 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Among stocks that reported earnings yesterday, Netflix was very strong today, with the stock up more than 13% to finish at an all-time high. The company said it added 5.2 million total memberships during its second quarter, which was better than expected. Also, Facebook hit a record intraday high. Wall Street turned its eyes toward Washington after two more Republican senators announced that they would oppose the current Republican health care bill. Following this news, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell called for a vote to simply repeal Obamacare without an immediate replacement after the latest attempt to overhaul the U.S. health care system lost momentum. And the markets did have some disappointment with this news earlier this morning, as initially the market did trade down sharply right after the opening. The U.S. dollar fell broadly on the back of this news from the Senate, with the euro rising 0.7% against the greenback, finishing at $1.15.5. Yields followed the greenback lower, with the benchmark 10-year yield slipping to 2.27% and the 2-year yield hovering around 1.35%. And in economic news, import prices fell 0.2% last month, which was as expected. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1% to finish at $46.47 a barrel. Gold was up 0.625%, finishing at $1,241.50 an ounce. In Europe, markets fell, with the Stock 600 down 1.1%. Asia was mixed, with the Shanghai Index up about 0.3%, and the Nikkei down 0.6%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Johnson & Johnson and Procter & Gamble. The worst performers were Goldman Sachs and Home Depot, Goldman Sachs having somewhat of a disappointing earnings report, even though the company did beat on both profit and revenue. Among S&P 500 companies, Netflix and Wynn Resorts were your best performers today, and Harley-Davidson and Chipotle were your worst performers. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 80 cents to finish at 66.39, CSX up 2 cents at 54.64, AEP down 18 cents at 68.38, AK Steel down 11 cents at 6.38, Marathon Petroleum up 49 cents at 54.80, and Community Trust Bank was down 15 cents to finish at 43.20. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, clear skies with lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow on Wednesday, there's a chance, there's slightly cloudy, with highs around 91. Tomorrow night will be clear with lows around 69. On Thursday, mostly sunny with highs around 93, and Thursday night will be partly cloudy with lows around 73 degrees. It's 91 degrees here in Morehead.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Leanne Akers, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins. From the West Virginia News Service, Dan Hyman. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, MSPR News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.